So how are things going?
Things in Preston is progressing.
Sounded good, giving those Bhagavad Gita courses. That tomorrow you give your first lecture?
Yes, it's quite nerve-wracking because I've never took a class at a university. I've been trying to get some students interested for the past 2 months, 2.5 months. So we've got about 7, which is a good start.
Very good, very good.
I need 10 to start a society.
Uh-huh.
One of the things was that a society, I was going to call it Krishna Conscious, but because I take the classes at the temple, the Hindu temple, I didn't want to conflict with them either. So that's what I was going to ask you. What do you think I should... Should I just call it Krishna Conscious anyway?
What, the Bhagavad Gita classes?
Yes, at the university.
No, why don't you just call it the Bhagavad Gita, studying Bhagavad, something to do with Bhagavad Gita, studying the Bhagavad Gita.
Okay.
Probably better that you don't...
There's no conflict.
Hare Krishna Society.
Yes.
But that you're just teaching Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
Much better.
That's true. It's about 4,000 Indian students there.
Wow. 4,000 students, that's a lot.
Yes.
What's this, Lancashire University?
Yeah, in Preston. There's a central Lancashire university.
Fantastic. Well, anyway, that's very good.
Not that they're interested in religion, to say. That's one of the reasons the university asked me to come and start a society and help the Hindus, but I thought it was a good opportunity for me to...
So it was the university who asked you to do that?
Yes, because I went for a job interview, really.
Oh.
And they said there's not been any Hindu chaplain or representative ever. There's all the other faiths there, but Hindus don't want to waste their time.
That's right.
And they saw in my CV that I take classes, and I've been taking classes for 7 years, and they were very interested. So they just wanted a letter of confirmation, and that I'm able to teach. So Chaitanya Vallabha Prabhu wrote a letter on behalf of the Scotland Temple, because Prana Prabhu wasn't here.
Very good.
And they've accepted me there as a chaplain for Hindu.
Fantastic. I mean, that's amazing that they're the ones who are asking us to go there.
Exactly. I was well surprised. And I think I was quite frightened in a way, because I've never done such anything. Gone that far out.
Well, maybe you should ask them whether they want, whether you should call the course Basics of Hinduism or the Hare Krishna Society or Bhagavad Gita.
They were hoping that I'd call it Hindu Society. And Prana Prabhu said call it Hare Krishna Society. And I think if I called it Hare Krishna Society, everybody will run. I won't get... And on top of that, where I teach the other Bhagavad Gita at the temple, they'll chuck me out as well. Although they know I practice Krishna consciousness, and I think they think that I'm representing them. But in reality, I know I'm not, because all the preaching is on Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Hinduism, at least.
It is.
What Hinduism's supposed to be.
Yes.
So, yeah, you could call it like the basis, scientific basis of Hinduism, or the teachings and culture of Vaishnav Hinduism. You could also call that. That's
sounds good.
Okay, just hang on a minute now. Okay. So, what are we talking about?
Yes, for tomorrow, I want to give blessings. And I was very nervous anyway.
Just talk slowly. When you're nervous, then you talk slowly, otherwise you trip over yourself and you get even more nervous.
Question was, when somebody dies, leaves their body.
Not pens, pins. Pin. For the deities, pins.
Okay.
Yeah.
When somebody dies,
anyway, don't bother. If you can't get it here, don't go up top for it.
What about the floor? So I've just got a couple of recommendations.
Well, just give me what you got and get them later. Okay, go ahead.
Devotees, they say when a person leaves their body for 12 days, the soul lingers there, and on the 12th day, when they do this Bhārama thing, you know, they call it Bhārama in the 12th, that's when the soul leaves. But in the Bhagavad Gita, they say that when someone dies, the soul leaves and goes into another body. What's the significance of this 12 days, you know?
Well, when materialistic people leave their bodies, they're attached to their body, and therefore they don't want to go, so they stay there in their subtle bodies as ghosts. And it's only when and so it requires 12 days of 12 days of performing different types of purushchara and samskaras in order to actually forcibly move them on. It's questionable whether in this day and age the Brahmins who do whatever they do actually have the potency, or that their mantras are worth anything. So more like, unless they're chanting Hare Krishna, the chances are that the body's not moving on. But for Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas immediately go to Krishna, or pious people go on to their next life, those who at least know enough not to be attached to the material body.
It's not a religious side of it.
Nothing religious about it. It's just that it's like someone's holding on to something. It takes you like so long to open their hands and to pry them away from it. So it takes 12 days to pry people away from attachment to their body.
Nice.
But I doubt that that's working nowadays.
You know, on the 12th day, they feed like the whole community or so many hundreds of people, saying that the goodness from everybody eating there goes to the person who's just passed away.
That would be part of the ritual, yeah.
Okay.
That would be.
So does that mean if we
eat? The question is how much goodness those people who are eating got.
Yeah. So say if any of Krishna conscious devotees ate anything at that time, does that mean that we get that person's karma?
No, it's not a matter of getting their karma. It's that you give your blessings for those people to move on.
Right.
And that's okay. That's all right. But feeding people is an essential part of any festival, especially even when someone leaves their body, then there should be distribution of prasadam to get the blessings of Vaishnavas for that soul to progress, okay, move forward.
So is it the same for, you know, when a lady is pregnant and at the seventh month they do a ceremony and they feed people then? Some people say that that's the new baby that's coming into this world. It comes with its karma, and when you eat their food, you've taken their karma. Is that the same thing for that as well? Same situation.
What, that you're eating the karma
of the new from the new soul that's coming into this world?
Well, any type of unless you're participating in some kind of ritual or ceremony purely for Krishna's benefit, you're taking karma of anyone involved. Whatever you do, unless you do things for Krishna's pleasure, you have to take karma. You have to get reaction. Nothing's reaction free, whether it's eating or going to a football game or whatever. Everything is karma connected. Well, I forgot to bring pins with me. Anyway, everything is connected with karma. That's what the material world's about. There's karma everywhere. And unless you're doing things for Krishna's pleasure, mama kam sharanam braja, exclusively to please Krishna, there's karma involved in everything. There's karma in getting on a bus. There's karma in going to work. There's karma with everything. That's what the material world's about. It's about accumulating karma. Okay.
So if I did go to one of those functions, but in a way, as in this, hopefully this baby that's going to be born, hopefully it will be a Krishna devotee, and you're going there to bless. Yeah, and
why will someone hopefully become a Krishna devotee? No. People don't become Krishna devotees by hope.
No,
they become Krishna devotees if their parents and their relatives make a concerted effort. But there's very little chance that those parents want their children to be Krishna devotees.
That's true.
They want them to be anything else but Krishna devotee.
That's true. So there is no right way about it, that
really. Well, the only right thing is that sometimes we have to participate in social events. It gives an opportunity perhaps for preaching, but it's something that you can't avoid, and therefore you have to do it, and the devotee goes along not thinking that he's there for any type of material benefit or gain or anything like that, but his only purpose is simply because something that he can't necessarily avoid, Krishna protects.
Okay. That's good. Sometimes, yeah, because once in a while you get called to families.
It's inevitable. So when you have to perform things like that, then you do it. And you, like with all things, you ask Krishna to give you blessings and protection.
Okay. Next few questions are from Josh, I'm not so sure if they want them recorded.
Okay.